Hi folks, sorry about the recent mix-up with the RSS feed. Here now is the real episode 292.2. Dear Cheap Astronomy, why is the abundance of elements not ranked by atomic number? So, the most abundant element in the universe is hydrogen, atomic number 1. The second most abundant element is helium, atomic number 2. But are lithium, number 3, and beryllium, number 4, the next most abundant? No, not even a bit. In terms of abundance, after helium, it's oxygen, atomic number 8, carbon, 6, neon, 10, and then iron, atomic number 26. Indeed, hydrogen and helium are ridiculously abundant, making up 98% of all the elements in the universe, where hydrogen alone is 73% and helium is another 25%. This is why astronomers refer to anything other than helium and hydrogen as metals, meaning they are pretty much an afterthought in the grand universal scheme of things. Within the first 3 minutes after the Big Bang, the proto-universe expanded and cooled until protons and neutrons, the building blocks of matter, became possible. But in the still hot, dense universe, their fusion into helium also became possible. So a lot of helium was produced through fusion until the universe had expanded and cooled further, and that fusion was no longer possible. Since then, stars have been the main reason why there is such a huge diversity of elements other than hydrogen and helium in the universe. Even moderate-sized stars like our Sun confuse helium into carbon and oxygen, and big stars that go supernova can do that and a whole lot more. But most higher-level fusion steps after helium involve the photodissociation of previously fused elements, like carbon, oxygen, and so on, into alpha particles, which are essentially helium nuclei. Any additive fusion processes generally involve the addition of these alpha particles, which means you add 2 protons. So you commonly see even-numbered stellar fusion products, like helium, atomic number 2, carbon, 6, oxygen, 8, neon 10, and so on up to iron 26. But lithium, atomic number 3, and boron, number 5, don't get a look in. In any case, what happens in a big star before it goes supernova doesn't really matter that much, since once it does go supernova, a lot of its core elements are destroyed as they are mashed into what will become either a neutron star or a black hole. It's the explosion itself that generates a whole bunch of new elements. So, everything from oxygen 8 to rubidium 37 mostly comes from these supernova explosions, where there's still some preference for even-numbered fusion products due to the involvement of alpha particles, and you'll get proportionally more smaller elements, like oxygen, than you do bigger elements, like rubidium. Type 1a supernovae, which are white dwarfs that accumulate enough new mass to take them over the Chandrasekhar limit, also contribute significant amounts of elements, like calcium, atomic number 20, and zinc, 30, making many of these elements abundant enough to play minor roles in life on Earth. The substantial overabundance of oxygen and carbon in the universe is also contributed to by low-mass stars like our Sun, which release much of their core contents within a planetary nebula after they've swollen up into a red giant. These low-mass stars also release elements like strontium 38, hafnium 72, and others even lesser known, all the way up to lead 82. As for anything smaller than oxygen, like we said before, most hydrogen, helium, and also lithium, and a teeny bit of beryllium arose directly from the Big Bang, but since then, most beryllium and lithium, and also boron, comes from cosmic rays striking larger elemental nuclei and breaking them up into smaller nuclei. And then at the other end of the spectrum, quite heavy elements like silver, 47, gold, 79, all the way up to uranium, 92, and plutonium, 94, mostly arise from the collision of neutron stars. Since that's not a common event, most of these elements are rare, so don't play much of a role in life on Earth. Indeed, some are toxic to life on Earth, since we've just never had to deal with them during our metabolic evolution. And lastly, anything heavier than plutonium, like americium, 95, up to lawrencium, 103, are just made in human laboratories. Of course, you could still argue they are the products of stars, since we're the products of stars.